This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Kaiser workers are striking. CVS workers are striking. Rite Aid workers may strike, but first the Mets struck out. Now it's the Dodgers to the World Best. Series.
Rips the ball. Deep left field towards the corner. Nimmo on the run. Won't get there. It's off the wall. Here comes Chris Taylor. A double from Betts. Insurance for the Dodgers.
That's the call in Fox Sports as Mookie drives in a run in the eighth inning of the NLCS, going on to beat the Mets 10-5, facing the Yankees in the World Series. Dodgers cleaned up on the field. Now their fans cleaning up in the stores. You got T-shirts, caps, all the merchandise. John Baird joins us live. He's in El Segundo. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I have to confess, I just dropped a little money here myself, considering the Dodgers haven't faced the Yankees in a World Series in ages. And the Yankees are coming to town Friday. This store had a line outside late last night. They opened up. They opened up and sold out the merchandise. Then they restocked overnight and reopened again at 7 o'clock this morning. I caught up to a fan as she walked back to her car. So what did you end up getting again?
I got the World Series cap and sweatshirt and T-shirt and the lanyard.
You spent more than you wanted.
I did. I couldn't help myself.
But it's a one-time thing. Huh?
It is. I mean, God, the last time it was, what, 43 years ago? Oh, my
with
God. I feel so. Oh, with the Yankees.
That's right. 1981, Dodgers and Yankees. Last time they faced off in the World Series. But they're going to go at it again starting Friday night at Dodger Stadium. And, guys, you know, a World Series shirt isn't bad. It was like $38. But those World Series tickets, wow. You got to dig deep for those.
What did you get, John? She got the hat and the shirt and the sweatshirt. What did you get?
Well, I actually went in there so I wouldn't end up in the doghouse. So
Yeah.
So I got T-shirts for the family, and then I didn't tell them I got a hat for myself and a lanyard.
Good.
They
All
don't
right.
get to get the hats yeah. and lanyards.
They're like, Dad, what story did you have today, and you didn't bring anything back for us?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John. After the game, Shohei saying through his interpreter, he had his sights set on this when he signed with the Dodgers.
The goal was to get to this far, and I also pictured myself getting this far with the contract that I've signed. And again, just being able to play in this kind of stage with the team effort, and all the games were really hard, but you know, I'm just glad that we're at this stage right now.
Here's Mookie Betts on Fox Sports 1.
It's so hard, man. It's so hard to play a full season, stay healthy as a team, and to win playoff series. It's unexplainable how hard it is, but we did it.
He says, enjoy the night, enjoy the day, then back to work for the Yankees.
And if you wondered what all those fireworks were last night, that was it, because of the Dodgers. Kaiser mental health workers here in SoCal are on strike this morning. Emily Valdez has that story.
Too many patients, not enough staff, no more pension, and a lot of stress. Elizabeth White is a psychiatric social worker.
So they are booking into what we would call our administrative time. So for the last 6 months, intensely, we have been driven to a degree of anger that we're on an open-ended strike.
I spoke with her in Glendale, where union members were making picket signs.
We can't serve our patients adequately, and the health plan needs to take responsibility to hire more staff.
Kaiser workers tell me the turnover rate is very high. People don't want to work in such a stressful environment. Some told me it's hard to take care of other people's mental health when they can't take care of their own. In Glendale, I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Kaiser has released a video response to the walkout saying they're ready to hash out an agreement.
We understand give and take. We will continue to negotiate in good faith until a deal is done. We ask the same of NUHW.
They say the offer on the table provides strong wage and benefit increases. They say it's highly competitive, and in many cases, it's better than they would find anywhere else. North Carolina, one of the battleground states that's going to decide who wins the presidential election next month. Former President Donald Trump visiting the state today. And tomorrow, Vice President Kamala Harris, she spent time there last week. We talked to North Carolina State University political science professor Stephen Green about the record early voting turnout, polls in the state, and how could Hurricane Helene impact voting?
So how are people feeling there? Because, look, everybody's always talking about Pennsylvania, right? It's always Pennsylvania. But the next two largest swing states, it's Georgia and then it's you guys.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're feeling left out because we are being absolutely inundated with the campaign. Not only the candidates are coming here, but as I tell people, I feel bad for the mattress discount sellers because there's no room for them to run their ads. We're wall-to-wall political ads and campaigning here in North Carolina.
Stephen, how much should we rely on the polls? And, you know, I bring this up with you. I was out last night with some friends and, you know, of course, politics comes up and one person says, well, the poll says this, or I saw a poll that says this. How much should we rely on the polls? Because I'm sure we hear them about your state, Pennsylvania and so forth.
So I think we can rely on them substantially. The polls are not great, but better than anything else we've got. And what the polls tell us is this is a close race. And the reality is polls can tell you if you have a close race or they can tell you if somebody is comfortably in the lead one way or the other. What they can't do is tell you who the winner of a close race will be. And I think the problem we're running into is people are expecting that. And it's just more than we can ask of the polls.
We have all these headlines about early voting. And for you guys, it's like more than a million ballots already. Does that tell us anything about the excitement or turnout? Or is it just that, hey, Election Day is not a day anymore. It's Election Month.
I think far more the latter. One of the things that frustrates me is people trying to draw all sorts of conclusions, almost always in line with their partisan preferences based on the early voting. And there's just really not much you can tell. And I do want to say one thing is people keep comparing early voting to 2020. And 2020 was crazy. It was a pandemic. It was a very unusual voting experience. So I really don't think we can make much out of it this year.
How much is the Hurricane Helene? I mean, that's still, you're still reeling with the impact on the western part, you know, Asheville and so forth. I think the interstates out there are still shut down. How is that playing into all of this political-wise, politics-wise?
Yeah, it's going to be a little hard to tell. I have family out there, so I've been getting, you know, reports on the ground from how the recovery is going. And they have made really heroic efforts to try and make sure the polling places are there and open. But it's still very much an open question in terms of people whose lives have been dramatically impacted, lost homes, people still without water, things like that, and whether they're going to be voting when facing so much, honestly, trauma from the hurricane.
There was a package passed to try and make things easier for people to be able to vote. Yeah, and that was a bipartisan thing. Was that refreshing?
I'll tell you what is actually kind of sad about it to me. It was refreshing because these are largely Republican areas, and we've had Democrats who strongly believe in voting and democracy say, yes, we need to make every effort that these people can vote. And I'm not sure it would be the same if the shoe was on the other foot. I fear that's where we've come as a democracy.
That's North Carolina State University political science professor Stephen Green.
What do you think? Too early to think about Christmas now. Post office is getting ready, and we got a huge tree arriving at one of the malls. How to get the best flights. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues right here on KNX News.
Now, speaking of the holidays, travel. A lot of us going to be doing that. My wife recently got us our tickets back east for Christmas. Boy, they are expensive. Kathy Whitman reports on ways to save on those flights and hotels over the holiday season.
Travel costs are skyrocketing, forcing many who travel to visit families over the holidays to change their plans.
More than 4 in 5 holiday travelers are changing their plans because of inflation.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate, says people are not canceling travel altogether, but they're altering the way they travel.
The biggest would be traveling for fewer days. That's followed by things like picking cheaper accommodations and cheaper destinations.
Also, driving instead of flying if possible. There are other ways to save.
Take stock of your credit card rewards and your airline miles and your hotel points. These things represent real value, and a lot of people are just sitting on it.
He says going a few days earlier or staying longer is another way to save, as prices are highest right before and after Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm Kathy Whitman, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Post office is getting ready already for the holidays.
With almost $1 trillion in shopping expected before Christmas, Natasha Garvin, senior spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service, says they're hiring part-time workers, double-checking postal equipment in offices and larger shipment sites, and making sure postal trucks are ready to roll and keep on rolling. But she says the public can reduce their and the USPS's stress levels by shopping and mailing early.
If you're one of those thrifty customers who get out there and get your shopping done and you'd like to get everything packed up and ready to go, do not delay. Get ahead of the curve. Send all your packages as early as possible and get them to their destinations to ensure you won't be waiting to the last minute.
With the service expecting to handle a minimum of 1 million packages a day beginning in late November, the drop-dead date for ground service and first-class mail is December 18th and 19th. Any later, and not only will you have to pay more, there's a good chance somebody will be opening their Christmas package on the 26th. I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, it's going to feel like summer today, but it's looking a lot like Christmas at the Citadel Outlets. Of course, you know where that is, just along the 5 freeway in Commerce, world's tallest fresh-cut tree, just arrived about an hour ago. To give you perspective, the 115-foot white fir is taller than the Ferris wheel at the Santa Monica Pier. Manny Peretta, senior marketing manager at the Citadel, says it's going to take a while to get it all decked out.
It takes a full 2 weeks to get set up and decorated. It has 10,000 ornaments and 18,000 LED lights.
Now, the tree lighting just weeks away. Headlining the event is Spencer Sutherland and Orange County School of the Arts. Peretta says there are a couple of surprise guests as well.
They are singer-songwriters. One's a K-pop artist. Another is a pop artist.
Whether you're ready or not, the tree lighting is going to be Saturday, November 9th, 5 p.m. Citadel also hosts a nightly snow show every evening, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
There is a man in the San Fernando Valley going to be sentenced this afternoon for selling fentanyl-laced pills and cocaine on the dark web. He took a plea deal back in July. He's from Van Nuys, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to distribute fentanyl and cocaine, possession of firearms. Prosecutors say he recruited and hired some others to help with the packaging, the shipping, sold them on the hidden marketplaces on the dark web. Co-defendants, a woman from Burbank, she's set to be sentenced in January.
More civil suits leveled against Sean Diddy Combs in New York court.
Several new suits were filed Sunday that include allegations that Sean Combs sexually assaulted or raped his accusers in separate incidents from 2000 to 2022. The lawsuits involve both men and women. One says they were 13 when Combs allegedly raped them. He's also accused of drugging some of them. It's the latest batch of lawsuits from a Texas attorney who has previously said he's filing some on behalf of 25 minors. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Now, Combs' criminal trial has been set for May 5th.
Biden administration says they want to expand access to free contraceptives.
The White House is proposing a new rule under which people with private health insurance would be able to pick up over-the-counter contraception, like condoms, birth control pills, and the morning-after pill, for free. Right now, insurers must cover the cost of prescribed methods, but getting a doctor's appointment and the cost of some over-the-counter methods causes delays for women seeking timely birth control. The new rule would make insurers expand coverage for millions of people to include FDA-approved over-the-counter methods in including Plan B, the once-a-day O pill, and condoms. The proposal comes as Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns on the promise of expanding women's health care access. In a statement, Harris says the proposal would be the largest expansion of contraception coverage in more than a decade. Jennifer King, Washington.
Well, terrible helicopter crash. It crashed into a radio tower, exploded in Houston. This happened last night. Four people dead, including a child. Reporter Jalissa Garza has the latest.
A lot of people tell me it sounded like fireworks. Some people, where they were eating at, tell me that the power seemed to flicker on and off, and they had no idea what happened when they came out here and learned that it was a helicopter crash. They simply couldn't believe it.
FAA and NTSB, they are investigating.
News, a few minutes ago, we were talking with somebody in North Carolina about the election post-hurricane. Money's running out for this disaster assistance in the rebuilding. Is Congress going to do something about that? We've also got another Trump lawsuit live now with CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane. Scotty Mack, let's start with the money. There were all these calls to come back and vote on some of this, but nobody came back, huh?
Yeah, this is a big problem, fundamentally, for the disaster zone victims. The Small Business Administration, Mike, which is another wise, really obscure federal agency, is critical after hurricanes and wildfires and natural disasters. They help homeowners and small businesses get those immediate loans to do the rebuilds, to do the restoration. They ran out of money. I mean, Milton and Helene cleaned them out about a week ago. They've been sounding the alarm for weeks, saying their money was running short. Congress had to come back and refill the coffers. Congress decided not to, this close to the election. The House Speaker has said there should be enough flexibility for the Biden administration to move money and have money for the disaster zones. But the Small Business Administration, Mike, has been pretty unequivocal. They say they're fresh out, no new loans till mid-November at the soonest.
Wow, that's not good news. Scotty, talk about the Central Park Five. Of course, you say that people's ears perk up. Most of us remember that. Five men wrongly accused in that brutal New York City assault back in 1989. Now, they have come out and said, we're suing the former president, Donald Trump.
A new federal lawsuit unveiled this morning in Philadelphia by the five members of the so-called Central Park Five. They allege defamation, intentional infliction of emotional distress in this suit for what Donald Trump said at the presidential debate, September 10th, in Philadelphia. They allege that what he said was untrue and that it was an infliction of emotional distress on the five of them, making a reference during that debate to a guilty plea that the five had. The five did not plead guilty. And the former president, according to the suit, also alluded to a death in the case. There was no death in the case of the Central Park Five's victim or the alleged purported victim. So this suit is now the latest legal challenge against Donald Trump. This is also at the federal level. It is civil. It'll take some time, likely well after the election, to dispose itself.
Yeah, so both of those topics have linked us right back to the big one, right? We got 2 weeks to go. We know the polls are still neck and neck for that top job. Where are we with the House and where are we with the Senate?
They'll go through California. It's hard to get past it. As I go to CBS News election headquarters to prepare for our election night coverage of the balance of power of the U.S. House, every road goes through California with so many competitive races, at least a half dozen. And the margin just four, if the Democrats can make inroads in Southern California with Adam Schiff at the top of the ticket, with Vice President Harris at the top of the ticket, they could win back control and really have a change of trajectory for a future Trump or Harris administration.
All right, CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarland.